Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 316, Hostful 316. If you're a crazy football fan and you're also a podcast fan, the next time you go to a football game, paint your body and have it say Hostful 316. This would be the episode that would justify that. Let's see, where are we now? We're in San Francisco. Where are we now? This happens a lot. Where are we? What day is it? Is it daytime? Are we in the Northern Hemisphere? So we're in San Francisco right now, and we have one more show coming up for SF Sketchfest, which is a great festival. There's still a couple of weeks left of that. And then on the road, I have a bunch of shows coming up in other cities like Denver and Portland and Philly. So just go check all of it out at nerdist.com/calendar. And I would like to thank Squarespace.com for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Squarespace is basically just a really easy way to create or manage a high-quality website or blog. There's a new CMS or content management system. Saying the abbreviation and then saying the words just completely negate the idea of abbreviating and then justifying it on top of that. I've made it 70 times longer than if I had just said content management system. But from a technical perspective, it's an entirely new product with a different code base. You can use HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript. You have speed, you have flexibility for future development, so it doesn't just lock you in to whatever you're using now. From a user perspective, you have the best mobile experience. There's new mobile-ready templates with super responsive designs, and it's just faster and easier than ever to go onto Squarespace. Everything now is drag and drop, so there's better social media integration. So check it out. It's a really gorgeous UI, and I think you'll like it. So for your free trial, if you want to build your website, go to squarespace.com/nerdist. You're going to sign up for a free account, no credit card needed. Use the offer code NERDIST8, which is different than the previous code. So NERDIST8, you're going to get 10% off your purchase on new accounts. That includes monthly and annual plans. Don't forget about free domain registration with annual plan subscriptions at squarespace.com. Use the offer code NERDIST8. This episode is so much fun. This was just a regular old Hostful, but because we record these in the E building, formerly the G4 building, there were auditions for another show happening, like a hosty show happening right outside where we were doing the podcast. So all these people walk by. So it's basically, that's why we called it Celebrity Turnstile, because it's like Pardo dropped by, and Dana Gould, and our friend Aaron Gibson, and Jillian Vigman. So just all these people, it just became this kind of like rotating carousel of our friends. So this was a Hostful with a bonus. Super, super, super fun. So here you go to start your weekend or whenever you're listening to this. The Nerdist, but I'm probably just going to stop justifying it by saying whenever you listen to this, because we all know that you can listen to this whenever you feel like it. Again, with the over-justification. I think that's what happens when you start to get older. You just over-explain everything. Now I'm meta-over-explaining. So please enjoy the Nerdist Podcast number 316, Hostful Goodness with a bonus.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Executive producers of the Nerdist TV show, and we're sitting in this glass box here in the E building. And who walks by but Dana J. Gould?
How are you?
For a meeting. So I was like, Dana, you're in. Myra, you're out, but only for 5 minutes.
I'm like Bob Hope. Hey, I came in. I saw the light was on. I thought I just dropped.
Hey, what are you guys shooting CPO Sharky next door? What are you guys doing?
Hey, I tell you, I saw a kid on the street, a starving kid. So I had the limo driver pull over. I offered to sell him an apple. Bob liked a dollar.
With all this property I brought from all these people in the valley.
All these people that were illegally interred.
I got a real cheap land, though. Can't blame me, can you? I tell you what, that Brooke Shields.
We're talking about Bob Hope's Toluca Lake home.
Where
I have been.
Have you been there, really?
I was on the second to last Bob Hope special, and we did the promo from his Toluca Lake home. And I have a photo of me at his house doing the rabbit ears behind his head.
Oh, you cut up.
Oh, my God.
You cut up.
And at that point, Bob was literally Like, he looked like the guy from... He looked like Angus Scrimm's grandfather.
And he was
just like, he had that weird bloody eye disease. Yep. And just, I would describe his mouth as a maw.
And he was alive
Angus Scrimm, of course, from Phantasm, yes, just in case people... Yes.
He was alive for a good decade after that, right?
No, he died about three, four years after that. Not a whole decade. He was 94, and I think he died in... It was like 96 or something.
No, I think he died at 99, didn't he?
His age?
At 96.
Oh, he died. He did. You know,
I don't know. Let's just be glad he's dead.
But you have that story where you talk about putting, they're doing the photo shoot and you put your hand on the back of his.
I had to put my arm. He was not impressed. Well, I just don't think he wanted to. He was like, can I die, please?
Yeah.
Two more specials, Bob.
Bob, you signed a 100-year contract. Yeah. We're enforcing it.
I just want to die. Yeah, I know, Bob, but you got to go. So and I had to put my arm around him and he just wanted to be there, and his arm felt like a sweater full of light bulbs. If you have ever held a tube sock full of dead goldfish, you know exactly what it is like to squeeze Bob Hope's arm. We're doing this commercial, and it was the commercial was very simple. I say, hi, I'm Dana Gould. Join me and my new best friend here on his comedy special this Thursday on NBC. And Bob turns to me and he goes, I love this kid. Didn't she used to be my caddy? And I do a take.
Give us a take.
Wait, did you used to be his caddy? I don't understand. Yeah.
No, it was something else.
Wait, what?
Deliver the line. I'm Dana Gould. Join me and my new best friend here this Thursday on his comedy special on NBC. And he turns to me and goes, I love this kid. This used to be my cat. Halfway through Caddy, his brain just went, I'm on a 5. Yeah. And we had to do it again, but they couldn't say that he screwed up because they're like, we got to do it again, Bob. Why? You know, he did it like a T-Rex when the kid moves. He suddenly got really alert. Somebody was accusing him of making a mistake, and you have peanuts in your mouth, Bob, which he did.
Oh. It's a crazy thing. It's like, you know, when you see like a guy who's like 70 and you're like, that's an old dude. And then 20 years goes by and he's still alive. Yeah. So you're like old for so long.
Yeah. And you wonder, like, I was thinking, cause I saw Martin Landau speak recently, and you wonder does he just wake up in the morning and is like, you got to be kidding me. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. But, I mean, Bob Hope was old in the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, he's an older guy in the 50s.
Well, yeah, exactly. But also, people who were in their 40s and 50s in the 50s seem like 70-year-olds now.
Exactly right.
So, like, everyone to us that seemed... You know, like, oh, Carl Wright, all those guys, older than...
Yeah.
No. They were, like, in their 40s and 50s, but they just looked like they looked like grandparents at, like, 45.
And the life expectancy was probably late 60s, early 70s back then, too.
Yeah.
So they were inching out. That's just the weird thing about, you know, when people talk about Social Security kicks
here
in
we
at
go.
65. And it's supposed to pay for you until you pass away. The average lifespan when Social Security was initiated, 64.
We'll never have to pay this.
It was not designed to float you for 30
years. What about the debt ceiling, Dan? Well,
you got to look at the big.
The first 30 years is not designed to support you for the next 30
years. That's exactly right. Right now it's like putting money in a wishing well.
At night, anyone can come and take it.
That's right.
What are you doing here?
There's a little show that I'm testing for, some kind of thing. I don't know.
A fun get-together?
Trying to keep it on.
Show business has lowered yet another rope and sent me an engraved invitation to piss up it.
Dana, get on, Dana!
So I've been chugging lemonade all day, and I'm going to go in there and splatter myself to success.
Dana, come up here to entertainment. We're going to go around the world in 80 days.
Exactly.
Come on.
It's going to be wonderful.
We'll have a fun venture.
It's show business is equivalent of pointing to your chest and hitting your nose.
Seems like a good audience, though. They want to come and check out a test.
Now, I don't even know what it is.
Maybe you can't talk about this. Did you or did you not work on L.A. Noire?
I'm in the cast of L.A. Noire.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yes,
but that's done.
It's down until we start doing it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, but you're not currently working on that now.
I will start working on that, I believe in June.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. And it was one of those things. I'll tell you a quick story. Frank Darabont, coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
So we get there and we're shooting the scene. And I'm nervous. My first day, and I'm nervous, and I don't want to screw up. And, a couple of notes. You do that faster. Do that low. And I never got a note. And I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't get any notes. All right, because I'm hitting for six. I don't know why I said that like George
cricket.
Takai.
Yeah.
I guess I'm
six.
Doing very well. and then after like the whole thing, he's like, hey, Dana, can you come over here for a minute? And I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to get it. Like, dude, what are you thinking? Like, I thought I was going to get the private reaming. And I just walk over to him. I go, hey. And he goes, how cool is this? Because we were shooting at this old police station. He's the coolest guy ever.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
And there's in the pilot, it's Simon Pegg is in the pilot?
Simon Pegg is in the pilot, and John Bernthal, Jeff DeMond, a lot of our old friends from The Walking Dead. Neil McDonough, a lot of it's a murderer's row of actors and murderers.
They're going to work in the lawgiver statue from Frank's backyard.
The lawgiver, or my backyard. That's one of the many things we share.
That's adorable.
Isn't it?
It's good, too. I've seen it. It's very subtle. It's like it's the most classy, nerdy thing I've ever seen, where it's like, it's not outright. There's some plants in front of it. Yeah. You kind of got to see. Oh.
He's got the full lawgiver. I just have the bust.
Yes.
I don't want to.
To be clear.
Full disclosure, I just have a lawgiver bust. Ladies, right. Where are you going?
Hear me out.
Was
okay,
there
I'm done.
Convincing you had to give your wife to get that.
Well, that was the log. No,
that
bust. Okay, the lawgiver was vetoed.
Wow.
But I recently came into possession of, and I don't want you to treat me any differently.
I love this.
One of Morton Hack's original costume design drawings of the gorillas. And one of the green jumpsuits from Conquest.
Wow!
Sorry, ladies, taken.
Wow!
Conquest, huh?
Yeah, I did put it on.
Yeah, and did you sweep up?
I did. I swept up, and then I spilled some tartar sauce.
Yeah, and no,
And then your kids came in with markers and said, "Look, Daddy, we made it more colorful.
Yeah. We tied on it." Oh my God! Yeah, I just did a full. Paul Williams was doing a show at Largo, and I came out as Dr. Zaius. You can see this at danagould.tumblr.com.
This is amazing.
It was because of our good friends at K&B Effects. I did the whole Andy Schoenberg had a great Zaius, and we came out. Poor Paul Williams in that movie has, I know that movie by heart. Again, that's The Wedding Ring. Sorry. Paul Williams has this giant wad of pipe that he has to spit out when he first comes in. The guy says no to the ape, and the ape looks at him, and he runs up, and he goes, "Teacher, you said no. That is the one word we were electronically conditioned to fear. You can never say that to an ape. Only an ape can say that to a human. Caesar, when we..." That's called story pipe. And in The Simpsons, when we had people deliver story pipe, we frequently had them holding pipe.
I didn't realize it.
Lisa once came in holding like some giant pipe and said, "But that competition is..." I should step out and go do.
Get out of here. Go. Yeah, good luck with your audition, and then come back and hang with us longer.
I will.
Okay. Good.
Auditioning. Here's what you know about auditioning. That's the job. I used to be very aggressive. Like I used to hate it. Like just chip on my shoulder. Like making me. But you realize that is your job.
Yeah.
Auditioning.
Yeah.
Working is the reward you get for doing your job.
Right.
And if you can get into that mindset, it's not quite.
And sometimes you have to work for free and be judged by people who think you're not tall or enough or whatever enough.
Exactly. Yes. And now with the internet, I would say that always you have to work for free.
Yep.
but no, it's this is my brother's a prison guard. What am I doing? I'm not complaining. I don't know what he said to his guidance counselor. I like the idea of anal rape. I mean, I don't want to be a part of it, but I see it in my workplace.
I'd like to be near it.
Yeah, I see
it's
it.
Like in, a, yeah, it's like a crew guy in a set. It's like, I like being near the action.
Yeah, I like being around it. I could ref.
Well, good luck on the audition, right, Dana Gould.
I'll poke my head in a way.
Please do. Let us know how it went.
Cheerfully.
Aww.
Dana J. Gould!
Thanks, everybody.
What a piece of shit.
Wait a minute, the door's not.
Sorry. Right,
door's now.
What an asshole.
Well, I can't believe you brought up Frank Darabont and Hardwick didn't say anything because Darabont was on Walking Dead. Sure. Well, the show, I mean, yeah, the show's still good, but.
Another Chris Hardwick just trying to be nice to everybody.
Oh, God, please, don't take me down that
Such
rabbit hole right
Chris.
Now. So
you mean,
I'm not going
to
go into
yourself right now.
I'm not going to go into
Chris,
it. I'm not going to go into
it.
Don't
try not to address the Amazeballs issue. I don't know.
Okay, two times I said Incred-Amazeballs, and everyone thinks that I am this big proponent of Amazeballs, and I'm not. I was making fun of it at the time.
I had to ask Matt the other day, I was like, why does everybody tweet at me Jonah Bing, Jonah Boom? And I was like, no, I don't remember that ever being said.
I guess you said it.
I said it.
Yes.
I said it on the PCast.
Yeah.
On an intro?
No, you were here.
I was here?
You might have been sick.
I feel like that was the
No, because it was happening before that, I think.
Listen, Jonah Bing Bing Jonah Boom. I don't
Binger Bingo.
It's fine. It's not like an issue. Oh, it's helping
it.
Pay.
He
it's
likes
helping
it.
Pay for the wedding. I fucking dig it. Just did another one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wait. So you're watching your commercials online and hitting the dig button?
Hmm?
He's digging.
Oh yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's a 2007
good.
Joke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still, you know, yeah, it's
Reddit
still,
guys. 4chan.
So you're watching your commercial and upvoting.
I think about life a lot.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think about. You know how you could so easily just show people what you're watching and what you're into.
Yeah.
I think I brought this up once on the podcast before where it's like, remember when you would see a sketch or a scene or something like that on TV or movie, and then you would go to school the next day and you would tell your friends about it by acting it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then a guy does this and then a guy goes this. It's weird that now you could just like it. You could just click it and then your friend sees it and there's like no, like yeah. there's so passive. It's like you don't have to. Well, it's a sketch where a guy kind of goes, you know what? I'll just send you the link.
We've become less a culture of story retellers to story forwarders.
Yes, that's
like,
pretty much it.
Just, where's the forward button?
Yeah, but it's weird because like I wonder like I don't you know every kid who wants to be a performer or has that push will end up doing it anyway. But like you know. Like for me, like growing up, like telling my friends about sketches and acting them out as I told them about, it, like I was like, I like this. I like this process. Like,
yeah.
Did you have that at all? Like,
yeah, no. I mean, it was always a thing. I was a big one of those kids that would record everything they were watching.
Yeah.
So I'd show people videotapes. Like I would just, I'd be like, here, check this.
So
out.
So you were early internet.
I guess I was the internet when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was
what was
early.
That? Is that like a maven, like a guy
beta.
Who feels he needs to like
the
like,
maven shares like the maven's like I found this crazy thing you have to see it like
yeah,
he
yeah.
exposed like he get that the maven gets off here or she gets off on exposing people to things that they think are cool that they're
yeah,
gonna like
yeah. Yeah. Tastemakers essentially right?
I guess a tastemaker would be yeah exactly and now you can just do that en masse
yeah
you don't have to
forward?
On your Pinterest board.
What is Pinterest?
Exactly what I said 2 days ago.
Yeah, now
Chloe.
No,
I'll tell you what Pinterest is. Pinterest is actually a pretty brilliant idea. Chloe loves the shit out of Pinterest, but basically it's just a visual pinboard. And so rather than like think of it as social media, but instead of words and phrases, they're just pictures and videos.
Well, that sounds like Tumblr.
It's very much like Tumblr, except that rather than, you know, Tumblr is very singular
scrolly.
And very scrolly. And so Pinterest is just like you have a whole pin board of like, you know, I can follow all your pins and I can follow all Matt's pins and I have my own pins. And then it just they're like a million rabbit holes you can go down.
Oh.
And so, you know, and
well,
then,
how would you go down? Let's say I like you, a certain type like, oh, I like the Gibson Les Paul. Could I pin that?
Yes. So what you would do is your Pinterest board would basically have like one of your pins would be guitars.
Yeah.
And so you dive into that pin and it's just like a fuck ton of pictures and videos about guitars.
How do you know what's in the? Oh, I see. So you essentially each pinned thing is a category.
It's a category.
Gotcha.
For the entire website of Pinterest?
For anything that you find online anywhere.
Oh, geez.
And so it just basically is a very visual way to expose you to special interest things.
If I see something I like that's cool with the guitars, I can pin it to my guitar.
You would pin it to your guitar thing, and then people would follow you, or they would follow your guitar pins, and like they would pin your guitar thing up, and then other people, you know, and then you. You basically, it's like a visual series of rabbit holes to go down.
And so, like, so say he, like, here's a picture of a guitar, like, oh, here's a video of a guy doing a really cool solo. Like, that would all go in that one little...
Right, right. That, you could put that in there.
I feel like the entire audience that's listening to this right now is just annoyed at you and I for not knowing what Pinterest
is. No, I bet a lot of people,
I bet most people think it's a fucking, like, a real bad, like, commercial. It's just like... Tell me about those things.
Guys, my impression of Pinterest is that it skewed more toward a female demographic in the beginning. Well, I don't know if that's...
My impression of Pinterest is this. Oh, Pinterest. That's a pretty good impression.
Mine's like,
and don't call me Shirley. I don't do impressions.
Words are...
What are your impressions of Mr. Stryker? I don't do impressions. I'm a doctor. I don't do impressions. That's what that is. Yeah. Jonah's Riff today was written by the Zucker Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. 40 years ago.
But you know, it's kind of a cool, like, it's sort of a, you will lose a lot of time, you know, going on Pinterest. But I think now, you know, where people are creating, you know, it's funny, like, the idea that your online identity, there was this older idea of, like, oh, you have these fake online identities where it's a picture that might not be you or a younger picture of you or whatever. But now, essentially, our identities online are defined by the shit that we love.
Yeah.
And so you build this kind of igloo or turtle shell based on movies or cat faces or whatever it is that basically say, this is who I am, this is my identity.
Yeah.
In the world, or who I want to be, and then, you know, and
it's the new wearing a pin, wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's called Pinterest.
Pinterest, and so Pinterest is a very visual way for people to do that.
What's the one where people get stickers?
Stickerist.
Are you talking about
like you watch a show and they give you stickers or something?
Ooh. Oh yeah. That's
it's when you vote.
Nope. All right.
It's called sticker getting stickers.
You're a comedy writer?
Stickers.
Professional writer.
And then when Batman comes in, Batman drops down from the ceiling. What is that? What is that? Now I need to know. Because you can check. Why check in to the Nerdist and get a sticker?
Whoa.
Like, and then I want to know if it's like a real sticker, if it's like a fake sticker, or what.
Is it a puffy sticker?
Yeah. Oh, is it scratching his nail sticker?
Scratch a snare snicker. What do you got for you? Who cares?
Oh, it's a get glue.
Get stickers. I was so close, Jonah.
Yeah,
Matthew.
It's get glue. I'm watching this. I'm watching the Nerdist TV show. You get the get glue sticker.
But do they actually send you a sticker?
They do. You don't actually get an IRL sticker. Sorry. That bummed you out way more than I thought it would.
Yeah.
There's always Sticker Planet. You can go to Sticker Planet at the
Grove. You're right. The only thing that keeps that farmer's market open.
Sticker Planet. Yeah. It's held together
for
with
those
stickers.
Of you who don't know,
it's weird the way it works out.
There's a place in the farmer's market at the Grove, which is essentially...
This is not a farmer's market. This is like
it's like a
permanent food court.
Yeah. It's like Faneuil Hall in Boston or in Philadelphia over by the train station. You get the place that all the food is that I don't know the name of. Anyway, it's one of those places.
Or an open food market with potentially fresh foods in your town. Who is that out there?
Aaron Gibson.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's Aaron Gibson. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, where is she? Grab her for a sec.
Well, she's going in. She ran in with wardrobe. I saw her earlier. Anyway, the farmer's market.
Sit down.
Hi.
Our friend Aaron Gibson.
Hey, Aaron Gibson.
You know, welcome to the Nerdist Podcast.
You know what's fucking fun
We're
about this?
There's so many guests.
Is this like the fact that there are all these crazy auditions in the studio next door means there is a revolving door of great, hilarious people that I love.
You know what this is? This is the equivalent of a mid-90s Grammys radio junket.
Yeah. Or Midnight in Paris, this podcast version.
Midnight in E.
Midnight on E.
Yep.
No, I
guys,
just really like it when it was a few years ago. I wish it was just different. I mean,
why
I hear
it be
I
a
got
couple
the
years
thing
ago?
And I go...
My new thing is to just work in Midnight in Paris references to all conversation.
Now let me ask you this: Do you give yourself credit if you say I have to work Midnight in Paris into conversations?
Yes.
Like that's working it into the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so nice. I basically got 2 points.
Really? I feel like it's weird to give yourself a point for justifying.
Are you playing this game with this anybody game else?
No, everyone hates this game. Nobody likes this.
Are you just working in the phrase Midnight in Paris, or like parts of the movie, or
I make really sweaty references. Like I'll be like, oh, that banana. That banana's weird, just like the plot of Midnight in Paris.
Okay.
That's a bit of a stretch.
I'd give yourself a half a point.
Give yourself another point. Did you just get another point?
That's a half a point. Yeah.
The last time I fell asleep in a movie, Midnight in Paris.
Oh, really?
It's just that easy. You just
did
say,
you really?
Hey, guys, it's 2 o'clock in L.A.
Gotta be. Midnight in Paris.
Gotta be.
I haven't done that one yet. That's so obvious, and this is the one I haven't done.
It's always the one right in front of you.
It's always, no one ever thinks of the world clock.
Have you been having everyone else at this audition?
Well,
come
Dana came in.
We saw
Arden.
Arden Marine, and then I saw our friend Rob Cohen was out there
and
too.
Owen Burke is
Owen Burke was in there.
If you go in there, just tell everyone to come out.
Just come in. Yeah, just interrupt the show.
It's a marathon.
We're having our own auditions in here. Yes.
For what? For the fourth
the
chair?
The fourth chair. Yeah, the Nerdist Podcast fourth chair.
I love it. How do people exit when you're done with them?
I don't know.
Is
you
this
could
an
just
awkward
they
thing?
They know that they like are going to be missing something at the audition. And
do you have to run? Is it 11:59?
I don't know what's happening.
I think Paris is calling you. It shuts down at midnight.
I missed the whole audition because I'm in here.
You know what I missed? The 20s. Just like
Midnight in Paris.
Yes, exactly.
I was at Baron Vaughn's house last night because he's my new acting coach. All pertinent information for everybody.
So you're going to start acting like this.
Ooh, hey. And he was doing a song that he for you.
Oh, for my
and
podcast,
it was delightful.
Yes.
I feel like I'm like, is not
did
a spoiler,
right? Where
did that tangerine
come from?
Oh, I just had it.
Those were in your hands the whole time? You were palming tangerine slices?
I came in with a tangerine like an asshole.
I didn't even notice that. The entire, just all of a sudden in her hand, a tangerine.
It just appeared.
Yeah. And so, it just couldn't be more casual.
Now, Aaron Gibson, when did you start doing close-up magic?
I started doing that. Well, I burned down the magic castle.
Okay.
That was you.
That was me. I was the arsonist. Yeah. And then so that they would be like, oh, so confused. And then I put in an application. And
well,
now I'm in.
I think because of the charming way that you told the story, they're never going to come after you for admitting it on the podcast.
I wonder about it, like the statute of limitations with talking about crimes on podcasts because...
Specifically podcast.
Yeah, because, well, I didn't burn down the Magic Castle, but I did steal a credit card in college, and I've talked about it a couple times. Can they come after me?
I don't know. I've talked about many illegal activities that I've accidentally done.
How do you accidentally do illegal things?
It's like an accident happens, and then you just go away.
Oh, right. Okay. I feel like you're doing legally.
The scene on the broken side view mirror.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. You too.
I
broke it with my body. My ribs were cracked.
What's it? What an interesting definition of an accident.
Yes.
Are you a lawyer?
Yes, I am. It was an accident. I didn't mean to ruin my body.
My client accidentally stole the life of another human being.
I love
my
that.
My hands were sticky. Didn't wash them. They stuck to my hands.
The mirror had asked her to break up a chiffon robe.
What is a chiffon robe?
It's an it's like a chest.
It's an armoire.
It's
that
like
is,
for clothing.
Do you know where they'd use a word like that? Midnight in Paris. Bye, guys.
Yay! Gibson! Bye. Who could be next on Celebrity Revolving Door?
This is a fun way to do it. Just get
I like
through
it
people.
Too.
Now we don't have to have her on.
God damn it. You guys, if we could just, let's do that.
Let's just take aside a day.
Yeah.
Let's just have people come every
a marathon. Like, yeah. We'll cut them up
charity.
Into 10 different shows
exactly.
And be done for the year.
Chris, we need 160.
Shut up, Matt, I know.
We need 160 to be done for the year.
Oh, God. What have I done?
3 a week. Fuck you.
What have I done?
Well, we got so many, we might as well just put them all out.
Oh, my God. This is not a complaint, by the way. This is just a, oh, you got me. AV Club gave Mandroid a great review.
Oh, that's great.
Like
congrats.
A fucking great review.
They got you.
And I got to the bottom and I was like, I'm not going to read the comments because I'm smart.
No.
Then I get a tweet. Hey, the review in the AV Club, you do not want to go to the comments, my friend. I was like,
why would someone do that?
No,
it was
no,
probably
no.
the same fucking
no, he said,
guy.
A lot of negativity. it turns out there are a lot of people who want to punch my fucking face. I mean, literally, like, punch my fucking face.
Ugh.
It is intense.
Oh, you know what I do sometimes,
you know,
if I ever
Chris, as soon as their our comedy special comes out on DVD,
then I'll totally, then we'll just, I'll we'll totally troll their comment threads.
Do I ever tell you what I do if I'm like feeling weird about like a bad comment online or something like that? I'll look up someone I really like.
Oh my God, Jimmy Pardo!
Hey!
Jillian Bateman! No, stop flipping us up! You gotta bring him in for a second. You gotta come in! You can come in for a second!
He's fine.
You can come in for a second! Oh my God, this is great!
What a hostful.
This is how we gotta start booking the shows.
Wait, this is a guestful! It's full of guests!
No, get it? No, but the guests are auditioning to be hosts! It's a hostful!
Oh my God! It's perfect! It still makes sense! Jimmy Pardo!
Come on, go run and get him. No, run along now.
What were you saying? Your friend said, "What about comment threads?"
Oh, no. So what I do is if I ever like end up seeing like a bad comment or something like that, I'll go to look for comments on someone I really dig, like Louis C.K.
And then someone will be like, "Fuck!" And
yeah, then you read like, "Fuck this guy!" Fuck you. You'll go to YouTube.
No
like,
one comments about that like for Louis.
Sometimes you can find it, and when you do, it just like you're like, not for everybody.
I honestly think there were like 60 out of 80 comments that were like, I want to fucking punch this shithead in the face.
Yeah, but I do too. It's
Jimmy Pardo!
Hello! Hello.
Jillian Bateman!
Jillian, everybody's here.
I don't know what to do.
We've had Aaron Gibson on the show so far.
We had Dana Gould on the show.
And Jimmy Pardo,
our audience knows. Jillian Bateman's been in every commercial for everything and a bunch of movies and is a hilarious person who happens to be married to my friend Dave Gibbs.
That's right. I will sell anything.
Use the sound system.
I will sell whatever it takes.
I know. I dust a lot more efficiently now.
Hey.
You know?
Thank you.
Big fan of the Swift.
How is Dave Gibbs? How is your child?
Oh, Dave Gibbs is wonderful.
Love that guy. I love that guy.
Really, really well.
When you refer to your husband, do you always say his full name?
I try to go by the full name because there's not, 5,000 Dave Gibbs.
Pardo's a music fan. Were you a fan of the Gigolo Ants, Dave's band?
Can I point out that I did? You dragged me in here.
Yeah.
I don't care what her husband does.
You do, because you probably did Bring the Rock before, right?
Yeah.
Well, he was in Electric Snowflake.
You know Dave Gibbs.
Jesus.
That's my... Look at this!
Hey. Wow. Huh? Who doesn't give a shit now?
Still me!
Okay, good. How are you and your wife?
Do you need to do more push-ups or get a tighter shirt?
What are you talking about?
Where are you going to go?
You look great!
You don't have to be jealous of my
pythons, Chris. Call them pythons.
Bitter? Mm. How about bitter? Can I be bitter?
I never doped at any minute.
Just wear a tank top. If you're going to do that top, wear a tank
this
top.
This is a fucking, like a pullover polo shirt. But why would I go from this to a tank
top?
It
looks like, you're a lady. What do they call those sleeves? Like on a girl, there's like.
Oh, you mean like a cuffed
like
sleeve?
Like a cuffed sleeve.
Here's the problem, Jim. Here's the problem is that I'm in between sizes. If I wear a medium, it's like it's too big.
I get it.
Like the body fits for a small, which I am a men's small. Ladies, it just got wetter in here. But the sleeve, I don't know. So I guess I'm sort of in between sizes.
I think you look great. It was a compliment.
Oh, I appreciate that. Oh, you guys. Oh, I appreciate it.
You're the one that took it negative.
You're right. I did. You look good, too. You got a nice jacket on. Everything looking good.
I like
good.
All three different colors of that suit.
It's what? Good.
What did you say? I don't have headphones on.
You like all three of those colors on the suit,
I liked all
Jimmy.
Three colors. I did.
Jimmy's a professional podcaster. If he doesn't have headphones on, he doesn't hear what you're saying.
It doesn't matter. If it's not even recorded, he doesn't hear it.
That said, I listened to Timothy Oliphant with you guys today, and let's get that guy some headphones next time.
Was it too far out?
You know what? I mean, there's a reason they're here, so that people can hear themselves.
Podcast critique with Jimmy Pardo.
And,
we gave him headphones. He refused
them.
He didn't want them.
He turned them down. I listened to the program.
Because his hair is magnificent.
It is.
Everything about him is magnificent.
Well, headphones can really work like a hairband if you really want them to. Yeah.
You mean Winger? Warren? What are we talking about?
I mean, Striper?
Scorpio.
Striper?
Scorpio.
Dio? Striper?
It just got a little wetter.
Scorpio. It did just get a little bit wetter in here. Yeah.
We gotta go.
Ghibli! Pardo! Jillian Bateman on the podcast. Another hostful.
Man, a parade of assholes. I swear to God.
This show's gotta be called Parade of Assholes.
Yes, that's the name.
Or should it be called Hosty Hostful?
I like asshole Parade.
Asshole Parade?
Yeah, that was the name of a really good
hardcore
band.
Can we put asshole on the, or do we kind of have to put the asterisks in there for?
Astrosci?
Astrosci. Astrosci.
Guys, this is, I'm not, we should really do a marathon show somewhere. We just keep bringing.
You know, this is, but do you know, this
oh,
is.
Oh, wait, Jimmy Pardo does that
this,
every year.
This is the formula, Matt Myra. We find out what shows are auditioning around town, and we set up a podcast in the audition room.
Beautiful.
We just get like.
Beautiful.
2 minutes of everyone.
And there's like more rejection for those guys now, too. It's like coming in, it's like, I don't know you. I know you. Get in here,
so,
Jimmy.
Okay, so wait. So do we want to have them on before they go in, or do we want the post-game wrap-up
we
to see
both?
How they did?
We
want
to get. We want to bookend it.
But we couldn't. It's just, it's going to be harder to go through a lot of people that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. We just get them before.
But how about, because they're in
high.
Their heads beforehand. They're in their heads beforehand, so maybe
yeah.
afterwards.
I mean, maybe afterwards.
Yeah. And we just don't talk about it because they're in their heads again.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be rough. I don't think anyone would really be on board that plan. That's not us. The actors, the production.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anyone really. They probably wouldn't be cool with that too.
Sure, the production is already upset with us for.
Although if we just go and sit there, we just have the H4, the Zoom H4N, just kind of hold it there. It'll just look like we're waiting to go in.
That's true.
Or if we just wear it like a bracelet.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be really great.
So what do you think?
We just. Talking to the microphone.
I took a diagonal.
Hear that, Jimmy Pardo? Listen to our podcast.
That is nice to hear.
Do you think it was us, or do you think it was Timothy Oliphant?
It was Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah,
he's a big Justin.
Is he an Oliphant?
He is. He's an Oliphant.
You remember that Matt Besser character, Dat Fant?
Yes. Yes.
I'm Asian, but I'm also gay.
I don't remember that.
Because it was at the time of
Last Comic Standing,
where it was like,
Remember those Ant, shows they used to do?
Ant was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Ant was just like every other line in his act at the time was just like, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay. And then Dat Fan, like, it was just like, it's like, I'm Asian. So
I got to tell you something. I'm so glad you brought up that point, because this streams nice seamlessly into one of the points of.
It's not seamless anymore.
Shit.
Let's get to it.
You're right. you know, there were a couple of critiques I saw of the Mandroid special where people were like, I get it, you're a nerd. Why don't you just say you're a nerd more often or something? And I was like, you know, I really thought about it. I'm like, I guess I did say it quite a few times. Like, I was very declarative about that in the special.
It was a central theme.
But it's sort of the difference between, you know, like when Patton performs, it's not like he goes, hey, I'm a nerd. Like, he just talks about it. And I'm like, you know, it is a good point. But what I realized, because it really made me kind of reflect on, yeah, how did that set become what it was? And I realized that set is sort of the, there were sort of two sets happening for Mandroid that were stitched together. There was the old set that I was doing on the road for a few years. And then I started to phase some of that out in favor of some of the newer material, which I felt started to get a little more personal,
mm-hmm.
not to bore the shit out of everyone with the process. But I remember that a lot of that material came from basically performing for rednecks. Like, before people were actually coming out to see me on purpose,
yeah.
performing for rednecks, trying to sort of seamlessly get into that material, not having it go over, and then having them be like, what are you talking about? You know? So
yeah.
I thought, oh, well, literally the only way I can contextualize this for people is if I go, hey, I am a nerd. Here are nerdy things I'm about to say at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it started working in the mainstream rooms a little bit better. And I guess it was just sort of held on from the old, like, when I watched them, when I looked at the Mandroid special, I was like, oh yeah, there's that chunk that's the old set. And then this kind of new stuff that's coming through. And what's been super exciting on the road is that it's a whole different. It's all different now, because when you perform in LA or New York, you start to build your set based on 10-minute sets.
Yeah, it's all these little chunks.
It's chunks, and then you step back and go, what am I trying to say based on, yeah. like, do these 10-minute sets fit together? Is there yeah. a theme? Yep. Am I trying to express something? And so what I've noticed is, starting from scratch, just going up and talking to people is fucking awesome, and it's much more relaxed. I'm not yelling as much in my set. I'm not blowing my voice out, because it's all just coming from a very organic place with at least this comedy's – the set is forming from the conversations with the audience, and it's been so much fun
yeah.
to do it this way.
That's nice.
I used to flip out. I'm like, how am I going to fill an hour with it? You know, and it – you know, like in the old days, and then – because it was more – I felt like it was more dependent on the – has got to be about the jokes. And now it just feels more about the process and the conversation and the comedy coming out of that, and the jokes don't feel forced, and I'm not saying like, but where's the punch? You know,
yeah.
It's just a much different way. Like it feels really good, but the live shows have been super fun. So
that's great.
Anyway, I just had to get that off my. I say get that off my chest. Like I'm angry about it, and I'm not. I mean, just I wanted to say
you
that.
Ever, but
you need to
there?
Not go to therapy. You just need to talk about it.
I haven't really been able to go. Really, yeah. This podcast is therapy now. Therapy. That's right. Am I what?
We are your therapy.
You are?
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
You. We're here for you.
My therapists fight a lot.
We don't fight too much. We've gotten along a lot better since the incident.
What incident?
You know.
I don't.
I
just want the internet to
Oh, you wanted it to seem like it was a thing? Oh, yeah. Oh, that incident.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. What have you guys been up to the last...
Oh, Chris, let me tell you everything.
The flu fucking took me out real bad.
So in the end, it was a flu and not a cold.
Yeah, it just felt like the way it started, it started feeling like a cold where I was just kind of head dizzy and just snot and stuff like that. And then it just like it kind of progressed to just like shaking and chills and like sweats and just it was fucking.
Is it fair to say you had chills and they were multiplying?
No, they weren't multiplying.
Were you losing control?
Yeah. But it was it was really awful.
Did Dee get it?
No, she was kind of sick a little bit before that, but she didn't get it, which is great because she was there to you know.
Her immune system is stronger.
It is.
The fucking flu is knocking people on their ass.
Yeah, it was because I had two different like shoots too. Like one of the harder days, like I got like this. I got another commercial. And like I was like fucking just like waiting for my part and just like in the like holding pen with the other like you know one line actors and just going like
nobody get close
like,
to me
and then like I fucking fell asleep and missed lunch like I could have really used some food but I fell asleep and I kind of like woke up and everyone's like oh they already packed up all the food did you want anything I was like that second question doesn't matter anymore does it. and then like
they were
then,
like wow he's cranky
yeah and then like I fucking like went home and I passed out and I like I started feeling better and then I had to do a 2-day shoot on another Bing commercial and then
you're
like
working a ton
yeah it's been fun.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, but like it was cool. The other one I did was like it was like a cool director and John Ennis from Mr. Show.
Yeah, I know
like,
John's great
star in it. He was like it was awesome to get to see him do stuff and act with him and stuff. Like it was great.
That's really cool. John Ennis has a great story that I'll probably get him to tell on the podcast one time, but I always remember him from doing a Young Comedian special and Joe Piscopo was hosting and they told Joe that John Ennis had an impersonation of him and Joe's ego at the time didn't enjoy that and so he totally put Ennis on the spot. It was really uncomfortable and then he just and John just did it in front of him and he was like, oh, that's what I said. You know, like it was one of those.
God. That's brutal.
I spent 8 hours in the Indianapolis airport, which is on two different days, is a nice airport if you're going to spend time there. But Chloe met me. I was in New York doing something, and then I flew to Indianapolis. And then we were going to drive to Bloomington. Did the Bob and Tom show in Indianapolis. We're very nice guys. And so we were meeting. Our flights were supposed to arrive an hour apart from each other, like 50 minutes apart from each other in Indianapolis. And then as I'm landing and as you know, when we landed in Indianapolis, Chloe texted me and she was like, I'm still in Detroit. You cannot fly direct to Indianapolis anymore.
No,
there's no direct flight. So she was connecting through Detroit. She was like, it's weird. They're not saying anything. They just keep pushing the time, but no one's saying what's going on. And the flight before us got canceled. And no one we don't know what's going on. Well, it turns out the connection flight was run by an airline called Pinnacle Airlines. And what they weren't telling anyone is the day she was flying, Pinnacle filed for Chapter 11.
Oh, weird.
And so it was like for all day, they were just like, I don't know, the computers are dead. Like it was some sort of crazy, like while she was traveling, the connecting airline filed for Chapter 11.
Oh, weird.
And so we were able to get on another flight, but she was supposed to get in at like 6 p.m. And I just waited at the airport till like 11. But it's a nice airport.
Yeah.
So it actually wasn't that bad.
I got this book. About Terry Francona, the manager for the Red Sox from 04 to 2010 or 11. And he was talking about like the early 80s when he was in the majors and like they called him up to the majors and he had to get to Houston for a game. But at the time was the air traffic controller strike. And apparently that strike ended by Ronald Reagan firing all the air traffic controllers.
What?
That's how that strike ended.
Really?
Yeah.
How does he get to do that?
It's their FAA.
Oh, so ultimately
their FAA,
he
did. So he fired all of them.
Well, you're fired.
Jesus Christ.
Well, they had to because no, there weren't planes. You couldn't fucking fly around the country.
Yeah, but that's like, that's just like busting a union.
That's Reagan, man.
It's yeah, that is Reagan. Man. It's yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool, man. It's Reagan.
Oh my God. I didn't know that. Yeah. You know, all that whole era of politics, I was a kid and not really paying attention right. to politics. So
yeah, I didn't know that either. And when I read that, I was like, whoa, that's cool.
You're fired. You're fucking fired. Yeah, you fucking fired. Hear me. Yeah. You can talk to the chimp.
Where we're going.
I mean, Dan Quayle.
Jelly beans.
Oh, no. I mean, George Sr. I just said Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle.
That was something Dan Quayle would have said.
Oh, Dan Quayle, he's so young and dumb.
92!
what a year it was, you guys.
Yeah, that's right. George H. Dubs was VP.
I love when he moves to Springfield.
that's a great episode.
That's a great episode.
Harry Shearer does the George Bush, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's Harry Shearer.
And then he makes another appearance when Homer goes to this. There's like a they're building housing for people, and it's Carter and Clinton and I think George.
Yeah.
Yep.
George H.W. is senior, and it's Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Oh,
and it's like, and they do the, and then for Clinton, they do, yuck, 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 and they do this really weird. Could I ask Dana J. Gould about that, who was in here merely moments ago. Nerdist TV show coming back March 30th.
Yes.
On to anchor out a night of the new second half of the series of Doctor Who.
New format.
And Orphan Black is another show that BBC is coming on. Then we're coming on with a kind of an expanded format.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New set,
new like bits. It's gonna be bits.
This ain't your daddy's Nerdist TV show, because the previous Nerdist TV show was also not your daddy's.
We talked to your daddy and he was a little bored through the Nerdist TV show.
It was never your daddy's Nerdist TV show, but now it's really not your daddy's Nerdist TV show.
Unless it is your daddy's, then it's not yours.
Now, through some type of weird scientific accident or perhaps a radioactive meteor, your daddy is only a year older than you, and you've grown up in the last year because you're Starman. And Starman grows up fast, like 2 minutes fast, baby to grown up in 2 minutes.
Was it
watch your flesh bubbling?
Was it Don't Be a Menace when it was like the son was or the dad was younger than the son?
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah. And he like just like fucking reads him a dirty thing and he jerks off and falls asleep.
Don't Be a Menace in South Central.
Well, drinking your juice in the hood.
Fridays.
Really, on Fridays?
Yeah, wasn't that the...
I don't think so. I think it was just drinking your juice in the hood.
I don't think that was part of the Friday series.
I thought that they had parodied the Fridays in there, too.
Mm, I don't know, because Friday...
Are you just thinking about
like
that because there are black people in both of them? Because that's kind of racist,
Friday
Matt.
Is just a comedy probably. Already. I mean, they wouldn't parody a comedy. They would just parody all the like South Central gangsters.
Where the fuck did that come from in my head?
Friday
from the
was
racist
not,
part of your brain.
Friday was not really...
You mean the big part?
I don't...
Friday still Christ. Fucking holds up. It's a hilarious
I don't think Friday was necessarily like a farce the way that...
No, yeah, it was not.
But no, it was a comedy though.
It was a comedy, but it wasn't like Drinking Juice in the Hood. It was like Don't Be a Menace was like a satire.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think Friday was just a comedy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's sort of the main.
Yeah, Don't Be a Menace was like, you know, it was post like Boys in the Hood and Juice. With the last line, you got the juice now. Nah, man.
You know, I fucking
you
love
refuse the juice.
I love New Jack City.
Oh, New Jack
still
City.
Still love New Jack City. Yeah. Chris Rock as Pookie.
I always get that.
Oh my God, that's so long.
Fucking Judd Nelson was great in that movie, and Ice-T was cool in that movie, and fucking.
I was once at a party, and Judd Nelson was there, and like, you know, if with a screw off bottle caps, like beer caps, like I can do it with my arm. You've seen me do that, where I just kind of like put it on my forearm and move it, and just twist it off with my skin. And he saw me do that, Judd Nelson, and he was like, "What?" I gotta try that. And he grabs a thing. I was like, you gotta make sure that it's a, and he just fucking goes, and it wasn't a twist off. And then like, there's just like a little blood trickling down on his fucking forearm. I was like, it has to be a twist off. He's like, I'll know next time.
And then he walked out sadly bleeding. And then there was a freeze frame. And then Don't You Forget About Me played. And then there were credits.
Forget about twist-offs.
No. I'll be alone bleeding, you know what, baby.
The landlords are redoing the kitchen in our house, and I had no idea that it's so fucking irritating to not have a room that you're used to having in your house.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just not there, and then there's fucking guys using your fucking bathroom during the day, and it's just it's the worst.
Why don't you try working for a living?
I have for a long time.
Take them with the given.
But like a thing they did is like they took out the fan in the kitchen and then they put recessed lighting, you mm-hmm. know, into the ceiling.
Yep.
Wait, so there's no hood for your stove now?
No, there will be.
Oh, I thought they'd removed it.
So your stove's clit is totally exposed.
Yeah.
When you said fan, I just assumed you meant
ceiling
hood.
Fan. I'm sorry. Like a ceiling fan.
I'm sorry.
So like they removed the ceiling fan, they put recessed lighting in the ceiling, and then I was like, oh, well, you know, this is like an old house. You kind of need a ceiling fan because it gets really hot in here. There's no central air. And the guy's like, no, just recessed lighting. And I was like, all right. So I tell the landlords, they tell him put in a fan. And then they put in the old fan between two of the recessed lighting. So now the fan blades go in front of two of the lights, and I turned it on.
Strobes?
And I started fucking strobes. And I was just like, I was like, I'm getting dizzy trying to fucking turn off the thing. And I haven't gotten a hold of them where I'm just wanted to tell, I was like, you really think that's a thing you could do?
But you know what's funny sometimes with, you know, depending on, sometimes when people are quickly redoing something, they'll just have, just like, you know, work, whoever's like doing the sort of the labor,
not the contractor, but just put the fan in.
Yeah. Sometimes they make really puzzling choices. Like, I've even moved into apartments. Like, why would you just paint the windows shut?
Yeah.
All the time. Every building.
You know what they did? You know how paint works. It dries.
They painted over, like, we have a doorbell, and it's like an old-time doorbell, and the bell is actually in, like, the little unit is in the kitchen.
They paint it over.
So now it's just going to be... That's going to be the fucking sound of the doorbell now.
Oh! Country we live in.
But it's just like, it's not our house. We fucking rent it and we have to deal with all this fucking like bullshit. I'm like, oh God, it's just.
Now, of course there might be someone who'd be like, first world problems, you guys. But when you live somewhere and that's a part of, you know, like that's like, oh, but that's like, yeah.
Our fridge is in our fucking living room right now.
That's cool.
Pretty convenient.
Yep. Get all the beverages next to you.
Yeah. You can put six packs of soda, candy in the fridge, anything you want to keep cold, like, Tommy boy.
Sandwiches.
How's everything else going?
Good. Getting ready to do the Meltdown, the show that Kumail and I do. We're going to be doing a pilot for Comedy Central.
Cool.
We're shooting that on February 15th. And so if you want tickets, go to, what's the site for the theater? Like Nerd Melt LA?
I think it is nerdmeltla.com.
Nerdmeltla.com.
Yeah.
And you can get tickets and see us. We got some good comics. Like Jim Gaffigan's going to be doing it.
Are you shooting it at Meltdown?
We're going to be doing it at Meltdown.
Fucking great.
Yeah. We're going to like roll kind of like smaller cameras, kind of make it like a documentary style.
You'd think I would know what's going on at my own theater, but
I emailed you about it.
I know about it. I just didn't know how it was going to be, if it was going to be shot. For some reason in my head, I thought, oh, they're just taking the aesthetic of the Meltdown and shooting it on a stage.
You know, that was a thing that came up and we were like, no, we don't want to like fake it. And so it's like really non-invasive.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be kind of all a handheld camera, smaller like DSLRs. And the cameras are just going to be just roaming around within the audience.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It'll feel intimate.
One of Kumail's things, he's like, who watches comedy while hovering above the crowd from one side of the theater to the other?
Right.
And like, we wanted to make
Superman.
Superman watches comedy that way.
Boom!
But like, yeah, so it should be fun with Lance Bangs, who's like this great videographer, director guy who did like, a bunch of different stuff. Like he's currently doing Odd Future, that show. And so, yeah, should be fun.
Cool.
Should be good. We'll see. You know, it's a pilot. We'll just do it and walk away.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the great thing about a pilot like that is that it's not like, we've scripted this thing and we don't know how it's going to play. This is a show you guys have been doing for years, and all you have to do is just do another one.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, exactly. We're going to do two in one night and then just, like, you know, film it, edit together the best bits, and just be done with it. And it's like, it's not like there's nothing that really has to change. We don't have to like rebuild anything. We don't have to change anything.
It's good that they're letting you do it in your home space because yeah. it's, you know, like the dynamic
so of it.
The dynamic of a new room is you never know how that's
going
to work.
Well, when we first started doing the show and like it got really popular, there was a lot of people going, "You guys going to move the show?" We're like, "Then it wouldn't be the show."
Right.
It wouldn't be the show.
The thing about a comedy room is that a comedy room is sort of is usually just kind of an accident in the sense that there are some things that you can sort of predict about, well, this room could be loud or if the bar is right there, that's sort of, but you never exactly know how a room is going to be, and some of them work and some of them don't, and the meltdown room just works.
Yeah.
It just happens to work.
And you never know, because there's always a thing as a comic when you walk into a place and you kind of like see like a stage in the corner, you're always like, hey, you probably put a comedy show on
here. Of course.
Put the mic right there. You know, you always have that thing. And most times you're completely wrong.
You are. Like through the years, there have been rooms that I've tried to start, especially when I was doing more open mic stuff. And like, oh, we'll start a room here. And it's like, well, this is a beautiful bar and it already has a stage and it's going to, and it just,
it just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work for some
reason.
It's
like so many elements. Like neighborhood, parking, the day that you pick in the week.
It's almost like the best rooms are rooms that shouldn't work.
Yeah.
Like UCB New York is a room that shouldn't work. There are two giant blind pillars in the middle of the stage that block part of the audience, and it's still one of the best rooms. Did you go in? It's Pardo.
Oh, Pardo.
Jimmy Pardo. Oh, jacket's off.
He doesn't look as
jacket's
happy
off.
As he did.
Is the audition process happened? Has the audition happened?
When does this episode air?
Next week.
I'm not auditioning.
What?
I'm here just visiting people.
Okay. Is that true?
Yep.
Are you hoping they're going to go, wait a minute, why don't you try auditioning?
I want to pull a Paul Reiser on Diner.
Where I don't know that story.
Oh, Paul Reiser was just, he went to the Diner auditions with a buddy, and the cast director liked his, the cut of his jib, the way that he was handling himself in the waiting room, and said, why don't you come in and read, and he got it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like, there's always that thing where like, you're like, you know, there's moments in your life, like when you're auditioning where like you're with somebody, you're like, oh, why don't you just come? And then that's like the ultimate fear. It's like, I'll just go with you and I'll just wait for you. And then we'll go get food afterwards. Like, or, just stay in the car.
I'm sure there's no shortage of star stories where it's like, oh, my sister was auditioning for this. And then the younger sister just happened to be there. And then they cast the younger sister and shattered the older sister.
Oh, you are preaching to the Fannings.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
I don't know.
And the other one, there's a smaller Fanning.
There are Fannings.
They're like nesting Fannings.
Yeah.
Duh-ha!
One inside of the other.
You know what fans of the Fannings
are like? I can hope to get out of Pardo.
Fannings.
What? All right.
How's podcast going? How's everyone?
Hey, I'm good. I'm not sick, guys. I got what they call a cough.
Okay.
My son's had this cough for about 20 days.
Oh,
he's probably taken to see a doctor.
No, we did. It's just a cough.
Just a whooping cough?
Yeah.
Who's this now?
Someone just peeked in.
They want, I don't know who it was.
I don't know what's happening. Listen, guy looked like another guy.
Parcast, how's it going?
Parcast's going great. Yep. You know, better
what
than
season,
ever.
What season are we at now?
Season 12. Season 12.
Wow.
Wow.
And,
not 12 years.
No, 6 years. Like, it's like
6
television.
Years. Okay, okay, right.
And actually, we're about to start our 7th year in May, I believe. It'll be 7 years.
We're going into our 3rd. And if it's like, how did that fucking happen all of a sudden?
It flies by when you're having fun.
Isn't that true?
You're gritting your teeth.
Hate myself.
Brother.
I had no way to end that sentence. I can't believe that I went cliche. Now, listen, I don't have headphones. I don't know who's talking.
Any live shows coming up that you're doing?
When? What?
Live shows. Where can people see you anywhere?
When will this air?
Next week.
Well, I'm about to be in Bloomington, but I think this is that's before.
Oh, I just came. I just got back from there a couple days ago.
It's my top 3 favorite clubs in the country.
Comedy Attic, amazing.
Yeah, you know who named that club, right?
No,
I did.
You no?
Yeah.
What is this? Some kind of Comedy Attic?
Yeah, so I go, I'm up in somebody's attic. Oh no, in a Comedy Attic?
Yeah, because it was Funny Bone.
It was Funny Bone.
Yeah,
and I take they give and I take full credit.
That is a fucking great space.
Love it.
I
don't like you saying space, but I mean, other than that, I think it's a
great. It's a great comedy room.
There you go.
Okay, I appreciate
great
that.
Great space. What are you, my mother-in-law, talking about theater?
Well, now let's talk about my daughter. You need to keep her happy.
I wish my wife.
I'm
was
a dowager.
Do her terrific impression of her mother-in-law.
Bloomington, Indiana has. we ate Afghan food 2 nights in a row. Like, they have amazing international cuisine. In Bloomington, Indiana.
It's a college town.
It is.
And
Breaking Away was filmed there.
Mm-hmm. My favorite movie of all time.
It's one of my favorite movies. It's in my top 5.
It's my, I don't, how clear am I to make this? Number 1 for me.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere
what's
in the top 5.
What's your first?
Ed Wood.
Really?
Yeah.
Good day.
Oh,
good
wow.
Day. Oh, no.
Good day.
Jimmy Pardo, there
he
goes.
I'm reliving your youth with Breaking Away.
I like Jaws, guys.
Peddled out of here.
Really? Jaws number one?
Yeah, it's got to be Jaws.
Gotta be jazz.
It's gotta be jazz.
You're just trying to say it's Rain Man by saying it's gotta be jazz. For me, what do you have? You have a favorite movie?
It's either gotta be Ghostbusters or Groundhog Day, but it's a fucking Bill Murray movie, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, my world was populated by like a half a dozen recurring films, which were The Jerk, Caddyshack, Fletch, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, Real Genius.
Yeah,
I would probably even throw Revenge of the Nerds in there too, but those first six were
those
really
like the movies of like hanging out friends or when you're just bored.
I would pin those to my Pinterest board.
Oh my god,
you guys!
This instead of is having not to brought tell to you by Pinterest,
not brought to Pinterest at all.
No,
what would I pin? My Pinterest board would be Jaws, High Fidelity, Ghostbusters, and Back to the Future would be on there as well. And then I think, honest to God, I'm in the minority here, but one of my favorite comedies of all time is fucking Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
No, it's good. It's a funny movie.
It cracks it's a fun movie. Me up.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so funny.
Yeah, but just for me, it's like
so it's so pretty, and they take it so seriously. And John C. Reilly is so fucking.
But it gets
funny
a bit too big for me at points. I wanted him to take it a little bit more seriously.
Well, I liked it because it had just come off of that run of like Ray, and Walk the Line.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Walk the Line. I think I was working at Arclight when that was out. I ended up seeing it like three times. Yeah. And that one part just gets it. So it's like, you can't do that. You can't walk the line. Smash cut.
I walk the line.
So he ended up walking the line.
Yes, exactly. No one really. And I don't even know if that's a thing that people would say to each other.
I will
shouldn't
walk.
Shouldn't we challenge someone in the movie with the title of the movie? This isn't an E.T.
This isn't an E.T.
This is an
he go email you.
This is the EST that we've ever seen.
How T is he?
Pretty E.
E.T.
Pretty E. Do you want some more sugar? Yeah, I'll have a little E.
I'll have a little E.
Little E. So, Spinstress is my pin board of 50-year-old unmarried ladies.
I love it.
Who wear those ankle... pantyhose, those ankle hose.
I like it.
And flat.
We should catfish.
Pinterest is where I put all different members of my family.
Yep.
on a board.
Yep,
and just different can.
Winterest is where I put pictures of Steve Wynn, the father of Las Vegas.
Oh, that's weird. Winterest is where I put pictures of Windows 3.5.
Winterest is actually I don't do anything with that. Winterest is where I put my favorite scenes from the movie Win-Win.
Quinterest is where I put a bunch of shark hunters and then they get chopped up in half partway through the page.
Primtrist is actually where I anything that's in Nevada that's not Las Vegas.
Clintrist is all Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
And Clint Howard. Any Clints. No, not any Clints. You know, before I was too focused on Clints, but then I just opened it up to all Clints.
All Clints.
Yeah, Clint Black.
Yeah. What was
Clint Eastwood.
If you want that too.
You can't come in here. It says no homers allowed. But you have that other homer.
You
in
have
there.
A homer. Yeah.
We could have one. It's plural. No homers.
No homers. Skintrist. It's just skin grafts. I really enjoy skin grafts.
Just different patterns of skin at different places.
Mm-hmm. Sewn together for a suit that I will put on.
Mm-hmm. Would you fuck you?
I would fuck me.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd fuck me.
Yeah. Oh, sure, did you guys watch The Following?
I saw the pilot for The Following.
Yeah, me too. They just aired it.
And I loved it. Because I watched it before Kevin Bacon did the podcast.
Oh, you did?
And it was one of those shows where I thought, I get it, grizzled ex-FBI, it's a procedural, okay. And then as it starts to unfold, it's like you should definitely watch The Following. The last 5 minutes of The Following, which basically sets up the whole series,
is
so like, oh, fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, it gets really awesome.
There's a couple parts in, like, the show where I was just like, oh, fuck. I've never had that reaction watching a fucking network TV show.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it. It's dark. It's really fucked up. It's kind of like it's like Silence of the Lambs, the TV show.
Yep.
It's good. Like, did I talk about...
Well, I put that on my board, Kevin Bacon-trist.
Stretch, but I like it.
Stretch.
Stretch, but I like it.
Somebody did something like that once, and you were like, oh, you need some cream for those stretch marks?
God, I'm great. I'm going to remember everything. I did like it. It did remind me of this show. It's a. Did I talk about like that? The Swedish Danish show, The Bridge.
Was Kevin Bacon in Breaking Away?
No, he was not. Wait, he was one of the college kids.
Wait a minute!
No, wait, no. We're thinking of he in Animal House.
Okay. Yes,
he was not in Breaking Away.
He was not in Breaking Away.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happens is they find a body on this bridge. It's perfectly severed in half.
What are you talking about now?
That's kind of a reveal.
What do you mean? It's not a reveal.
It's kind of a... Oh.
Look who's come marching back in.
Did somebody say you?
You heard us say Breaking Away and you had to come back in.
Are you guys talking about it again?
We for a second. Yeah,
it's
we were.
It's a great movie. It's one of my favorite
For some
movies.
Reason, I thought Kevin Bacon was in Breaking Away, but he was...
He was in Quicksilver.
He was in Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, another bicycle movie.
That's
bicycle movie.
Bicycle movie. Yeah. You know what's a great movie? That unicycle movie. Now, that thing is fantastic.
Yeah, the race is really funny.
What?
Just at the end, the big unicycle race. It's just... I know it's supposed to be really intense, but I can't help
it. I had a unicycle.
You
giggle at it, right?
Yeah, you can't help it.
You can't help it. I'm with you.
And the kid's dad is like, you know, dying, and he has to win the race to show him.
Yet they're on unicycles. It's just inherently, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I also
exactly.
thought it was a little forced. They have to save the youth center.
Well, the movie is called Slow Silver.
That was not creative on their part at all.
No.
That they would call it that.
fairly near where you started.
Right. Break. We're doing all right. I'm going to make a movie called We're Doing All Right.
It's a real low stakes movie.
Just real, like, yeah. All right. We're getting there.
Hey, my God, we have to pay the rent by tomorrow. That's good. Check came in.
Speaking of paying the rent, here's what happened today, gentlemen.
What?
My credit report's been hacked.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah,
what
I got. And I'm not gonna lie. I'm rattled about it. I can't get it out of my head. They ran my credit report for reasons that are not your business.
Yep, gotcha.
And
I feel like that could be relevant to the story, though.
Well, you know, it's to refinance.
Okay,
I'll say it.
Yeah.
Well, who cares?
To refi
my house. And my credit report dropped 100 points.
Oh,
my credit rating. And I was like, what? That's not possible.
Of course it's not possible. And then you feel defensive because you're like, I pay my bills all the time.
Not only do I, like, I pay bills I don't even have.
Yeah.
So apparently something went to a collection agency, something that isn't even me went to a collection agency, and that collection agent, that thing alone drops it by 100 points.
Wow. And so what?
I don't know. It happened. I kid you not.
So
it happened
scary.
40 minutes ago that
okay.
I got this information.
Well, first of all, I admire the fact that you are keeping it together as much as you can, because I would be in a fucking heap, because my credit used to be very bad and it took years to fix it. Years. Because with credit, time, if everything on the report is accurate, time is the only thing that solves it. Most things will drop off after 5 years, but usually seven, they have 7 years, then it has to drop off. And so, and it's interesting, you know, these credit reporting agencies are, you know, they're independent agencies that have just been, have dubbed themselves the authorities
right.
on credit, the three, TransUnion and Equifax and the other one that I can't remember.
The other one that nobody seems to give any credit to. pun intended, I promise you.
And so, basically.
TransUnion, you say them?
TransUnion and Equifax and the other one. And so they... The best that you can do is immediately call them and go, I have to contest this. This isn't me. And they allow you to make a statement on your behalf. Now, keep in mind, that ding is still on there. It just basically just looks like you screaming, going, this isn't me.
I know.
And so then a full investigation will have to be launched. And then, of course, they'll have to determine it. But it's a process and it's a paper trail. But it sounds like in your case, you'll be okay ultimately.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never had to do this sort of thing. And by the way, dig this, I say, as a hippie. The thing that went to collection, $92.
Oh,
so to me, what pisses me off is like, it's all computers. We know that.
Yeah.
But couldn't a human being look at that and go, well, this guy's paid the $6,000 bill. Is he really blowing off the $92?
Nah, it's all.
I'll tell you this: even if a $92 bill came to my house and I didn't know what it was, I would just pay it.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So you have
exactly.
To,
I don't even question. I'm just like,
you have to
that
up somewhere.
Yeah, that's me.
The person, like credit repair bureaus, can't really do anything that you couldn't do. It's really just. It's you have to go to the Federal Trade Commission, which I think is FTC.gov.
Okay.
So you have to go to the Federal Trade Commission and find out what your rights are as a person whose credit has been hacked or something that, and then, you know, if you can prove that it's not you, then they'll pull it off.
You know, cut to sure, this is what happened. I go, duh, all right.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Oh, for 90, oh, for, yeah. Oh, 92 bucks.
Your son Oliver has a credit
Jimmy,
card.
We have this from Hollywood Video, Breaking Away VHS. This is your late fee, $92.
$92?
Yeah. It's worth it.
But
it
Blockbuster closed down. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
There's no place to return it.
I'm furious.
I would be furious, yeah. Too.
I feel like my hands are tied.
I've seen you move them freely. It's funny you were gesticulating with your right hand.
I understand that that's a term.
Hmm. What? What is that?
I couldn't even come up with the right word.
What is the term for term?
Colloquialism. Yeah.
Colloquialism, thank you. Is that it? No, that's not right either.
What? No, I thought it was.
It's not an analogy.
It's not an analogy. What is it? Okay, good. We're four dumb guys.
It's a metaphor.
It's not a colloquialism?
No, it's not a metaphor. My hands are tied. That's a
colloquialism, isn't it?
It's a figure of speech.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, but there's a word, though. For it.
Is it Greece?
Oh God! And
that's the second time that's
Greece
come up. Earlier.
I would say that's a colloquialism. Like that's right? that's a part of our like that's a saying that
yeah, automatically who coined it.
But automatically Matt says it, so it's wrong. I get it, guys.
You said it.
It's true.
I saw Timothy Oliphant today, and he was infuriated. You were not part of that episode.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank
now you.
You
seem a little obsessed with Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, did a great part of Patrol with him for Conan. It's on the web, teamcoga.com/partofpatrol.
I saw his panel on Conan, and he was really funny.
If you could see this clip of mine, it's he and I end up shooting Nerf guns at each other. And he's great. Like, yeah, all these celebrities that I do these things with, and you guys know that you're show business. And
that was directed at me.
Right, podcasting. And says the king. So I'm mocking myself. you know, they all take the time. They, you know, to do these part of patrols. They all, you know, they were like, "Oh, we'll do it," but you know, you could tell after like 10 minutes they want out. They're
right.
Done.
Right.
Not Timothy. He loved it. Like I got the feeling that could have gone on for 6 hours of he and I shooting Nerf guns at each other and being funny.
He just seems like a regular dude, just like a guy that you could hang out with.
It's like our, you know, it's our the go to is our friend John Hamm, where he's just a guy. Whose job is to be handsome and be on television.
And poor John Hamm is such a nice guy that I feel like he says yes to so many.
He's got to start saying no.
He says yes to so many of us. I feel bad asking him to do stuff because I you know, like there's a good chance he'll say yes. And I feel like I'm taking advantage of the poor guy's time, you know, and because he's such a sweetheart about it.
But I stand by it. He has to start saying no. And I mean, you know, I mean that because
John, come on. I meant after this time.
Right.
I really need you to do this.
Start saying no.
Please.
Not to me.
No.
You're just trying to trick me into saying yes again. You're a good friend.
I'm good, guys. All right, I'm ruining your show.
No, you're not.
We're friends.
We got a little Pardo color. It's nice.
A little crossover.
Racist. Yeah. A lot of crossover. Throwing Shade, podcast, and the Dana Gould Hour.
Yep.
Wow.
What?
Everyone's got a fucking podcast.
Hey, your thing. Are we allowed to... Can I say congratulations to you?
Well, on what?
Did I read that about
his pilot?
Kamel?
Yeah, the pilot. Yeah, we talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
good for you, man.
Thanks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Is it a standing up comedy showcase? Is that what it is?
It's going to be like, like any other showcase shows, but like filmed at the space.
You're going to film it at the Meltdown?
Yeah, like smart cameras. And
so live at Gotham.
Yeah, same kind of like idea where it's like, you know, like remember Live at Gotham where they did the kind of like, it was like all kind of younger up and comers, but then they would have like a big name.
Right.
And that's going to be like a similar thing.
Look forward to doing it.
Yeah. Should be good. Let's hope it gets picked up.
Thank you, Chris. If it gets picked up, I assume that that you actually would be able to do the show.
You know what, though? I don't do stand-up on television, or else I would.
No, but that's the beauty of what we want to do with the show is, like, the looseness of live comedy that's lost in most of these showcase shows is,
good luck to you.
Yeah. No, it's like, I mean, that's what they bought.
Yeah, I know what they bought. Let's remember that I just did a pilot for them.
I was there.
Did not get picked up.
I was there.
You were part of it.
I was part of it.
I did a pilot that I'm waiting to find out. Are my dreams going to be shattered, guys?
No, you're in.
Oh, good. Thank you.
In fact, I'm here to deliver the news.
Okay. Oh, that's so nice. It seems kind of cruel.
Seems weird.
Not only are we not picking up your pilot, we're going to send you to the guy whose pilot we're picking up. We're going to have to get you to... Well, you don't have to... I don't have to do that. Well, you signed this contract that says you actually
did.
It also says once you sign this, we're dropping your credit rating.
Yep, that's right.
You owe us
$92.
$92 freaking dollars!
Yeah.
Who? I would pay it just to pay it!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Five times over, you would pay it.
I wish that I could talk to a human being and just say, get rid of it. Why wouldn't I pay that one?
Yeah, I know. Andy's out.
Ed Wood?
When's there the last goes time Jimmy. You watched it, Pardo?
Scene.
Right. Breaking away. I'm going to,
Didn't mean to ignore your question. I've not seen Edward in a while. I've not seen Edward in a while.
It's a great movie.
What's number two?
To be honest, you want to get real?
Yeah.
It actually is Breaking Away.
Hey!
I like that unnecessary positivity.
Hey! Look, they got something in common, these two guys.
Yeah, Breaking Away I've seen more times.
Good for you. Your generation, I feel, because you're 20 years younger than me, I don't think they know that movie. So it's so great that you saw it and you related to it because it was so from... Yeah. That era, you know, 1979.
Yeah.
And those guys just graduated high school. I just graduated eighth grade, but I still, like, tried to put myself in, you know, hey, I'm Mooch. I'm the little guy.
That's how I feel about American Pie.
Yeah, but the thing is that idea.
People could be real, man. Yeah. People could talk from the heart without you having to go off backroom genius bar.
Yeah. Hey!
But that's
what are we, The Sopranos? What the hell was that? I'm just holding up my character on the show as being unnaturally positive all the time.
But the thing is, with that idea, like I saw when I was in high school, when I was getting close to graduating, I was in this like really shitty like film class, and they showed it, and like that was the only good part of that entire class was that I got to see this movie. And like it's the elements of it of just guys, like there was like, you know, the one guy who was just like, no, let's just hang out. Yeah. We don't need to go and do like, it's like, I kind of like, I had a feeling that I was going to become that guy because like, I didn't feel like I was going to go to college or like didn't really, you know, have any plans outside of high school. And like, it's just very, it's very universal. Mm-hmm. Like that feeling.
Yeah.
And you know, Rick Gervais and Stephen Merchant made a movie called Cemetery Junction, which is like kind of the same era, like late 70s. And it's these kids in this shitty town that like just kind of imagine the Breaking Away guys a few years after that, and they still haven't done anything.
Yeah, okay.
And they're still just drinking and hanging out in the town and chasing girls and stuff like that. And it's like, but a very similar thing where it's like they're just like, I don't know how much longer we could do this, but this guy, he's so charming, he just wants us to keep hanging out. So I recommend that if you like.
I will watch that. I like Stephen Merchant.
Yeah, and so it's like a coming of age kind of movie in the same vein
with accents.
Yes,
actions.
With accents. Okay. And there's a couple, the thing is though, they do a couple of those jokes that you're like, you know, like, it's like, oh, they make a joke about, you know, how, Elton John, it's like, you're a real ladies man, like Elton John. Like there's a couple of those, which like, I don't like, that's like, you know, it got on my nerves with The Wedding Singer.
I was just going to say The Wedding Singer, don't take off that shirt. You're going to break you're going to jinx the band.
Yeah. Exactly.
Van Halen shirt. Wedding Singer.
Nice. Yeah.
And there was a ton of those. Like, you guys are going to be together forever. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, you don't need those because it was like a sweet story. You don't need to have those fucking jokes.
I look forward to seeing it, Joe. What's called Pet Cemetery?
Cemetery Junction.
Cemetery Junction.
Cemetery Man with Rupert Everett.
Here's a quick anecdote, and then I'll get out of your hair. You're doing a program, and I apologize.
That's right.
I went to see Breaking Away recently at the Silent Movie Theater here in Los Angeles.
They played it?
They played it, and Dennis Christopher, the star, was there doing a Q&A.
The guy who looked like Beck before Beck did.
Yes, he did.
So you're talking about CineFamily. You went to CineFamily.
I went to CineFamily, yes.
Yeah.
And it was cycling weekend. It was all movies about bicycles. I don't know if the unicycle film was there. I didn't stay for the entire...
I'm crying thinking about
that. So afterwards, I went because it's a movie that changed my life. And I don't say that with any, you know, hyperbole. It did. And so I wanted to meet Dennis Christopher and be a stupid fan and get my DVD cover autographed by him. And so I waited in the line patiently to meet him while everybody bored him to tears. And you could see his celebrity face. Celebrity's a strong word. A guy who's, you know, he's a working actor.
Yeah.
And a good one.
Yeah.
But you could just see, like, nobody reading the signals of, you know, we're done talking.
Yeah.
And I watched all of that because it's happened to all of us after live podcast shows or whatever, where like the one guy stays that extra 2 seconds. You're like, dude, catch on. There's other people.
I really appreciate all my fans, Jimmy.
Oh, shut up. So it's finally my thing. Here's the beautiful spit. Yeah. It's finally, I walk up and I kid you not, got teary eyed and to say hello to him. And I couldn't believe I was getting choked up. And he said, well, who do I make it out to? And I said, Jimmy. And he goes, Jimmy, I know you. You're a comedian. And then I was like, oh, he goes, yes, of course. And you do sketches on Conan, right? I go, yes. He goes, yes, you're great.
Oh, man.
So now I went from being super fan to him knowing me, which people tell me is cool.
And then at that point, did you switch over and be like, all right, I get it.
I was like, very good.
Was he droning on?
But I got uncomfortable because it was like I went from – Thank you very much. Thank you for not interrupting. So that's the deal. So anyway, he knew who I was, which threw me for a loop because I just wanted to be a fan. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of cool, though.
I'm told that he probably appreciated that somebody in the business was so moved by him.
I think he just recognized you and enjoyed your work and expressed that. And so now a guy that you respected respects you. And that's a nice story.
Anyways, you know, same thing happened with Peter Cetera from Chicago.
Whoa.
Walking down the street one time and I saw he and his daughter coming out of a restaurant and I never bother celebrities ever, but it was like Peter Cetera is like, I gotta say hello to this guy.
I mean, you have to.
The one other person, other than Breaking Away, you know, Peter Cetera and Steve Perry changed my life. So it's like, I gotta say hello to him. And I'm walking to the tailor. I got some slacks, too long of slacks over my arm. And
they go on your legs.
I said, I never bother anybody. And you could just see he's zoned. But you're about to be. You're about to be the guy that you claim you're not.
Yeah.
So just shake my hand and move along. And he said, very kind. He goes, very nice. Nice to meet you. And he goes, what's your name? And I said, my name is Jimmy. And he goes, Jimmy, are you a comedian?
Oh, wow.
I said, he goes, what's your name? I said, Jimmy Pardo. Yes, I've seen you on Comedy Central. Like, are you fucking kidding?
Whoa.
That's great. I jumped up and down. I mean, that was awesome.
And so along comes
you appreciated that more than when it happened with the other guy.
You know what? Because I kind of feel like there's two different worlds. He's 65 years old and a musician and a singer.
Is a different thing.
Whereas I think that Dennis Christopher and I are kind of the same. I mean, he's as successful as an actor as I am as a comic, in my opinion. Yeah. So
just working.
It's kind of, just working, guys.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen.
You got a note halfway through.
I was close to Paul Dooley once, and I was just like, I got to tell him that, like, more often than anything else, I go, refund. Like, I just like, goddamn French fries.
Can I bore you with one more?
Please.
I'm at the Boston Market on Riverside in Burbank, California.
Is that after the Comedy Attic?
No, this was actually before, believe it or not.
Okay.
And I walk out, and there's Paul Dooley. And I was like, I gotta say hello to Paul Dooley. I gotta quote my favorite line from Breaking Away to Paul Dooley. And same deal, I got a little choked up, and I'm apparently not good meeting people. And and I said, Mr. Dooley, I just have to take some time. You know, it's my favorite movie of all time. And the scene, he goes, right, refund, I get it. I go, no, it's not refund, believe it or not. He goes, whoa, what is it? I said, it's when you show up at the race and you said, you tried, Evelyn. Even the announcer said he tried. And he goes, unbelievable. He goes, that was my favorite line in the movie. And then I kid you not, he may still be there talking to me. Paul Dooley held me hostage. Mike Schmidt, who I was having lunch with, goes, well, Jimmy, we got to go. He goes, well, great. Where are you guys going? I'll walk with you.
No.
Oh. I go, well, we're going over to this car right here. Walks, blocks my car door. and then holds court. Paul Dooley style.
Yeah, yeah.
But, which I enjoyed, but it was like,
let's get on with it.
We're done. We're done.
Because you could easily parlay that.
Then someone came running out of the restaurant and said, Mr. Pardo, your $92 bill.
Oh,
and you totally missed it.
Want me one day.
No, Dooley did it. He acted credit.
Dooley did it.
That's all right. Listen.
Thanks
for coming
on.
Enjoy. Podcast.com. Season 12. I'm going to be doing some live dates around. We got the Sketch Fest coming up, of course.
SF Sketch Fest? Yeah, you're going to be up there at the Comedy Attic telling jokes up there in the attic.
You're going to be up there in the attic.
And Frank was in an attic. You got any jokes about her?
I don't. She's very quiet.
I'm sorry. I just did a morning radio tour this morning, so I'm in that mode.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Tacoma Comedy Club. Well, by the time this airs, I'll have been there. And then in the spring, I'm doing a bunch of, like, you know, Helium in Portland and Denver at the Comedy Works. And
did Helium in Portland on New Year's Eve?
Oh, I was in Portland.
Somebody told me that.
But and I did a guest set there like the 2 days before.
That's what they told me. Yeah.
But I did not go back to Helium on New Year's Eve, so I apologize. But
first of all, you don't have to apologize.
Okay.
All right. Second of all, two of the best New Year's Eve shows in the history of New Year's Eve.
Oh, so wow. Much fun.
Really good audiences, and they listened. And New Year's Eve can be such a crapshoot of bad shows. They were great.
Good. Glad
we're all good people. We're all friends.
Good. Pardo.
Good to see you.
And now that we have 10 seconds before the CD runs out, I will say
enjoy
that...
Enjoy your burrito, kids.
Yeah, what?
Enjoy your burrito.
And I'm going to check out all of Jimmy's stories on Gymtrist.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.